Father in heaven, thank you for being a God who makes yourself known. We're thankful for your word. Even the hard and difficult things your word teaches us, we are thankful. First, that you are God and we are not. And second, that you are a God who communicates graciously to us by your Spirit and your Son, that we may have life and have it everlastingly. So, Father, would you open this word and would you make it clear to us that which is constantly and consistently true? Would you open it for us that we may see and in seeing receive that which is the word of life? In Jesus himself we ask. Amen. So most of the text has been read for you this morning, but I want to bring you in on the central piece of John chapter 6 here in verses 35 through 40. So hear these verses as we continue the reading of God's word. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." 2 weeks ago, in a nursing home in Cincinnati, or just around Cincinnati, Ohio, Perry, the maitre d' of the Dupree house, heard sounds coming from the dining area. It was not uncommon, more than once in the last 2 years since he's worked there, as he had to save someone from choking on food. And so as he quickly made his way around the corner into the dining room, he saw Patty, spry at 87, choking on a piece of hamburger. As he deftly made his way quickly to her, a man arose and went to her and got there before him and picked her up and performed the Heimlich maneuver on her. And out came the piece of hamburger. That man who performed the Heimlich maneuver at 96 years of age was Dr. Henry Heimlich. It was the first time in his life that he had performed it to actually save someone. For more than 40 years, from the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he had spoken to people about how to save someone if their airway was blocked, if they were choking. And here, 2 weeks ago, he practiced what he preached. At 96 years of age, he performed his own maneuver on Patty, and she was cleared. You know, her problem, Patty's problem, was that she was seeking nourishment, but that it had gotten stuck. There was the dilemma with her nourishment, her feeding, and yet there was one who was there who knew how to help, who knew how to make things right. This morning, our passage is about faith. It's about nourishment that faith brings in Christ, who is the object of our faith. And this morning, we also come as those who need nourishment. Why do we come to church? We come that we may be fed on Christ in His Word, that we might be nourished and grow in our faith and understanding of the Savior. But nourishment's not always easy. You know, as the pastor, I won't put any of you on the spot, but I promise if you sat on the table before me a kale smoothie or a strawberry shake, it's a no-brainer. Strawberry shake every time. But it doesn't mean that's what's best for me, is it? Doesn't mean that's what's best for me. You know, nutrition, those of you who are nutritionists, you might tweak my diet. You might tweak many of the diets in the room so that we would get optimal nutrition for our needs. And Jesus brings optimal nutrition for our faith. Jesus brings what is needed that we may continue to grow spiritually. What do you hunger for? And every one of us is going to go from here today and have lunch. And you're now worried that there's no clock up here because you might have lunch a little later today. But don't worry. It'll come. But as important as the physical nourishment for your body is, the spiritual nourishment is just as important. And that's Jesus' point in the text as he speaks to those who are pursuing him. Jesus has gotten away here. He has crossed the sea and people are wondering where they are. He has fed the 5,000. And he has made his way through the sea, and people are pursuing him because they want the loaves. They want the bread. And Jesus' point is that he is the bread of life. That's why we started in our reading with John 6:35 there. Jesus is the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. It's key to his point that the only thing that will fill the hunger in your soul is the bread of life himself, Jesus. But we fill that with other things, don't we? We have other strawberry shakes that come into our lives that seem to satisfy for a moment. You know that praise you get after hard work on a project that's been very important to the group of people you work with? Doesn't that just soothe a little bit? Doesn't it feel good to be praised at times? And yet the interesting thing is, it never lasts, does it? Just like hunger, that hunger returns. You may get praised for a moment, but then it's gone. It feels good for a while, but then it's gone. Maybe it's more than a praise for a friend. Maybe you long for deep and lasting relationships. Maybe you feel alone at times and you want somebody to come alongside, somebody who understands your need and understands your life, someone who can just enter in and just be a friend. You ever long for friendship? You hunger for something and you begin to get that and this friendship begins to develop. And then that person lets you down. Isn't there hurt there? And yet there's still the hunger for relationship. For some of us, there is that insatiable hunger and desire to get that new thing that will absolve the hurt from life. We want something new. It could be a whistle or a pony. It could be a new shirt or a new car, depending on where you are in life. You get that thing, and aren't you just excited? There is this sense, this satisfaction for a moment, even in your soul, that it works. And then all of a sudden you get buyer's remorse. Anybody ever had buyer's remorse? You buy that new thing and all of a sudden it just doesn't live up. Why? Because you were made to hunger, physically and spiritually. And Jesus addresses that this morning. He wants those who are pursuing him. Now give these folks credit, the Jews credit. They have seen something special. Jesus has fed the multitude. 5,000 households. 5,000 men was the count, but that's how the census was taken. So 5,000 households on one side of the sea, he has fed them, and he has prayed, he has walked on water, and he has made his way over to Capernaum. And it's Passover. And so the people are pursuing him. They have come because they want more. And in verse 27, Jesus says, when they get to him, you don't seek me because of the sign. You seek me because of the loaves. And Jesus' point there is that you need more than earthly bread. You need more than physical satisfaction. You need spiritual food. Spiritual food. And we begin to see that Jesus teaches us that though most of us kind of respond spiritually from the gut, our appetites rule us, we just do what we want to do, we do what we love, there is a reformation that needs to take part in our appetites because the only true nourishment for the soul is Jesus. Jesus is the right meal today. Jesus is the one who nourishes us. True nourishment is needed, and our belief is nourished in Christ. And that's the heart of what Jesus is teaching here. Our belief is nourished in Christ. You must believe, and in believing, you will be satisfied and filled in Jesus. Now, it's at the heart of the text, and it's at the heart of the whole Gospel of John, actually. Gospel of John loves this word. John loves this word, believe. Six times in our text today, in chapter 6, verse 22 through 59, six times Jesus calls the people to believe. But that's just a small picture of the whole of the book of John. In the Gospel of John, 90 times, he calls us to believe. As a matter of fact, the most famous verse out of the Gospel of John is a call to believe, isn't it? You know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Over in John chapter 20, verse 31, we get the heart of the book. Why was it that John gave us this gospel? He tells us that the purpose of the book, the very writing of his gospel, is this. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now you might say, well, that's a Christian word. Of course, Wade, it talks about belief. But it's interesting, this is important for the Gospel of John. John, 90 times, compare that to the other three Gospels that have lots of work on faith, lots of work on the importance of faith. The word belief happens 30 times in all three Gospels. What I want you to see is that central and essential to the life of a believer is the life of faith. Belief is primary. And Jesus is actually driving that home. But this is one of those challenging passages. One of those challenging passages. I can remember almost to a T, every one of our kids, as we have read this passage in family devotion somewhere a long time, you get to that point where Jesus says, munch on me, you'll have to eat my flesh. Every one of our kids is kind of recoiled. What's happening here, you know? Particularly towards verse 50 through 58, there is this sense in which it's almost repulsive. And yet, it's that repulse that we really need to see. See, because the scandal of the passage is the scandal of the cross. And what we need most is the life and death of Jesus appropriated by faith as we cling to him. Belief nourishes our relationship when it's set upon Christ. And that's the heart of the text this morning. And it's the heart of the gospel as a whole. Jesus comes, and in verse 635, Jesus said to them, this is to the mob, to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am. A reference to his divine self-disclosure. The bread of life. He is the fulfillment of our nourishment for eternal life. And so I want you to see this morning the scenario, significance, and substance of saving faith in our text. This is what Jesus is driving us to. Notice the scenario here of saving faith. The people who are following Jesus, they want a meal. And Jesus says you need more than a meal in verse 27. And so as they're coming back, they're pressing in on Jesus. They're beginning to see something that's important. Between Jesus and Moses, there are some striking parallels. You see, Jesus, like Moses, had fed the people in the wilderness. And these folks are looking for Messiah. They're looking for one who can give them more. But Jesus is having to reform their view of what more they seek, what more they need. And so they're coming to Jesus, and they're promising that they'll do the works that would help him. Notice there in verse 27, Do not work for food that perishes, this is Jesus to the crowd, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And then they, this is the crowd, then the crowd said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And very interestingly, Jesus says here, not works, but work. Here is the work of God. Verse 29, Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. You see, belief is the one thing. Christianity is not a million things you do. It's not 100 things you do. Christianity is not 1 million things you don't do. It's not 100 things you do. Christianity at its heart, Jesus is saying, is one thing. It's trust. It's belief. It's finding your identity in the identity of another. Jesus setting up a scenario here of saving faith. This is what life looks like in the bread of life. But it is a life that has sustenance. Notice there's a scenario here. Jesus gives us life because he is life. But what's the significance of that? Well, just as you need daily bread, daily you need Jesus. Just as daily you need bread, daily you need Jesus. Or to say it the way Eric Alexander has said it, what bread is to the body, Christ is to the soul. And that's what Jesus is speaking of here in verses 35 through 40. It is the significance of saving faith. You can't live without it. And Jesus will give himself to the people that God has given him. You notice that there in verse 37? Some of you may not believe, but Jesus is teaching to the crowd. Those of you who will, it's because the Father has given you to me in verse 37. In verse 38, I do the will of the Father who sent me. In verse 39, all those who are given to me will respond by faith to me. And in verse 40, I'm going to raise them up in the last day. You see, there is this gift and there is this response. But it all centers around trusting the Savior, faith in the Savior, belief, believing on Jesus. You see, faith is an embrace. I have a friend who illustrates it this way. If you're in deep water, way over your head, and you're fighting for your life, and I pull up in a boat, I could throw you an anchor or a buoy. At that point, what do you want to put your faith in? If I throw you the anchor, you're going down with it. You can attach yourself. You can embrace it, but it's taking you down. But if I throw you a buoy, if I throw you that buoy and you cling to it, your embrace clings to your salvation. And one of the things that we constantly need to see in the church is that faith is the embrace. Jesus is the Savior. Faith is the embrace. Jesus is the Savior. We talk all the time about how we're saved by faith, but we're saved by faith in Jesus. Belief in what? That's what matters. And Jesus comes to us this morning and he says, I am. He is God, very God. I am your fulfillment and your nourishment. I am the bread of life. And he who comes to Jesus, she who comes to Jesus, will not hunger, because he will nourish us and feed us and fill us spiritually again and again. Here's the significance. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one we put our trust upon. So that we might understand that we constantly need to be nourished in our faith in dependence upon Jesus. You must come to Jesus for nourishment. The only way you'll ever be spiritually filled is if you eat or feed upon him. Now this is the push of the text. The word eat or feed is used 11 times in the text. But it happens. It happens 9 times in verses 50 through 58. And here's where the disciples and those who are listening, the mob, this is where they get offended. Notice in verse 41 when he says he is the word of life and he is the bread of life, the Jews grumbled about him and said, because he said, I am the bread of life who comes down from heaven. And then in verse 42, after he's told them that they must eat of him, verse 52, the Jews say, they disputed among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? In verse 60, after the whole ordeal is done, his disciples even struggle with it. And when many of the disciples, verse 60, heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? You know, the response to feeding upon Jesus was very challenging. I remember the summer after college, I was in Poland, and we were using the Gospel of John to share the gospel. It was a wonderful summer. It was right as the Berlin Wall was falling, and so people were very receptive to God and what God was doing. I remember on the way in, the guy who was discipling me to lead the team that we were leading, we got to this part. We were talking about the Gospel of John. He took a pen, and when we got to John chapter 6, he marked through it, and he said, don't talk about this. I'm like, why? He said, oh, it's a hard one to talk about. And I'll be honest, for years after I left Poland, I was scared to look at John chapter 6. It kind of scared me. Why can't I talk about this? Why shouldn't I talk about this? And I'll admit to you, it's a challenging text to hear Jesus come to you and say, you must feast on me. It's an invitation to come and to eat. And the challenge of the text comes this way. Well, is it cannibalism? Well, no, it's not cannibalism. But it is scandalous. And Jesus is being scandalous in this text. He's being scandalous because the cross is scandalous. And you must understand this morning, if you are going to come to Jesus, you are going to enter the scandal of eternity. That the perfections of the Son of God would be laid down that you might have life. Your faith must always feast on the one who has sacrificed for you. And when we take communion this morning, this bread will continue to be bread and this wine will continue to be wine. But we will celebrate spiritually the feast of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. We will celebrate the feast of faith because we have come to the Savior who has given Himself. This text is scandalous because what was done to Jesus is scandalous. But why did Jesus go to the cross? So that you might be nourished. That your faith might be fed again and again and again. That you might be nourished in Jesus. You know, if you find your soul is dry and famished right now, it might be because you're not feeding by faith on the one who gives life. Our soul is to feed continually upon the life and death and works of our Savior. Spiritually, we are fed to follow Him. All who come to Jesus eat by faith. And by faith, we are called to eat and receive. We are nourished in Jesus. And that's the heart of the text here. So that we might come to Him and receive of Him. Because as we come, the goal of the text is to show us that Jesus is the only staple of eternal life. You know, this was a powerful metaphor. A powerful metaphor in the ancient Near East and in Jesus' culture. It was a powerful metaphor because more than 50% of the average person's daily food was bread. You know, we like bread. Any of y'all like bread? I mean, I like bread. Anything that says carb, I like. I like carbs. I like bread. But I'm not dependent upon that to make up my whole diet. Here are folks who were dependent on more than 50% of their day. If they were going to eat, if they were going to survive, they needed bread. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus says that He is the bread of life. Now, He's not the 50%. He's the 100%. He is the only staple of the diet of believers. It is that faith which He nourishes. He is the bread who feeds us again and again by His Word, by His Spirit, the focus is upon the one himself, Jesus, the bread of life. And we need to understand that because eating isn't a spectator sport. I don't know if you like to watch other people eat. I don't. I want to join in. And the point here is that if we're going to be nourished, we can't sit on the sidelines. We've got to get in the game. We've got to participate. You know, a couple of things have dominated the news in the last few days. One of them is a gorilla. A gorilla has dominated the news the last couple of days because a boy somehow got into, again, I think we're in Cincinnati again, aren't we? In Cincinnati, a boy, a young boy. Now, some of y'all have had young boys, and you know how they can get away at times. A young boy got into the attraction. Wasn't really a cage, right? That was the problem. Got into the gorilla cage. I don't know if any of y'all saw it. And when he got down there, the gorilla took hold of him. It's painful for me as a father to watch. Just whipping him around. The little boy was like a rag doll. And at the end of 10 minutes, as those who were over the zoo made a decision, the gorilla was shot and killed. 40,000 people signed a petition saying that was wrong. 100,000 signed another petition saying they ought to prosecute the mom. And a gorilla dominated the news. You know, it's interesting, in that same time frame, according to Ed Stetzer, 700 people trying to flee famine and persecution died drowned off of the coast of Greece. In that same five-day period, in the city of Chicago, 63 people were shot, some of them killed. In our country, during that five-day period, 5,000 babies were aborted. Because often, we just spectate. You know, it's easy to sign petitions. It's easy to play the blame game. It's easy to say, I know from outside what went wrong there. I don't want to see a gorilla die. And I certainly don't want to see a child die. You know, there's difficult things in our world. But we enter in because Jesus entered in. Faith is not a spectator sport. And we're not nourished by watching others worship. We're nourished in worshiping by faith. We're not nourished by watching others serve and love by faith. We're nourished by serving and loving and entering in where Jesus is at work. The life of the believer is constantly resting on Jesus. In our worship, in our work, in our hopes and expectations, in our joys and sorrows, we are nourished as we stay close to the one who feeds us spiritually. Don't just watch Jesus this morning. Take deeply of Him who has given Himself for you. There's no spectator in the faith. Faith is received and enjoyed as we are nourished in Christ. And the reason that's important is because when we don't spectate, when we receive of Christ, we see the strength of the object of our faith. The beauty of the gospel is not the strength of your faith, but the strength of your Savior. At one point, Martin Luther was speaking about the difficulties of living by faith. He was speaking of the difficulties of appropriating the treasures of Christ. And he said, it matters not whether you put the treasure of Christ. Let's say that it is 100 gold coins. It matters not whether you put those 100 gold coins in a bag or in an iron chest. The treasure remains the same. It's not the bag or the chest that determines the value of the treasure. It's the treasure that determines the value of the treasure. And what I want you to see this morning, when Jesus says to us, come and feed on my flesh, come and partake of me, come and be nourished by faith. That's the treasure. Whether your faith is small and weak like a bag or strong and fortress-like, like an iron chest. What is valuable, most valuable there, is the Son of God Himself, Jesus, who has expressed Himself to us and calls us to believe. Would you believe on Jesus this morning? Would you walk by faith in Jesus this morning? For some of you, that's a fresh start. You've been eating in all the wrong places, and you are spiritually flabby. And it's going to be a whole new diet to trust Jesus and not yourself. But I promise it pays to trust the one who holds all of life in His hand. For some of us, we need to grow in that faith. We need to go deeper and deeper and deeper into faith. Interestingly, this is the first Sunday in the third quarter, I guess. This is the first Sunday, right, June? This is the first Sunday. And today, the elders, those of you who are members of Westminster, you have an elder, a shepherding elder who is over you. Today we begin a theme with the congregation as elders as we're shepherding folks in the growth of faith. And I want to put up a few questions that were sent to all the elders that we're to ask to the congregation in times when God allows us good community and conversation with you as we seek to walk by faith together. And I thought these would be good questions for us to reflect on as a congregation. Possible questions for reflection. So they won't catch you off guard when elders ask you a question like this. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your strength, where would you put the strength of your faith right now? Second question, in what way do you find your faith tested or challenged? Third question, do you struggle with unbelief at times? What do you do when that happens? Fourthly, are you aware of others that are struggling with their faith? How can or do you help them? You see, faith is us resting in Jesus. And it's us as a body resting in Jesus. You and us together trusting in the finished work of Jesus. That's how we're going to get home. That's how we're going to get through. That's how we're going to continue on. Jesus says to you this morning, I am the bread of life. And you, as you are satisfied in Him, you will not hunger or thirst, because He is enough. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, would you help us? Would you help us to rest upon your great work in wholehearted belief? Father, some of us struggle with that wholehearted part. We're easily divided. And yet we need faith in Christ. Belief that is active and sustained. Would you hold us fast in Jesus? And would you build us up and nourish us? Father, we're thankful that you accomplish your good plans. Would you do that in us by growing us in faith? Helping us to thrive by faith, by believing in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Nourish our souls today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.